Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of a wonderful contemporary praise song and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Here is one of the best prayers a human being can make. Sing along with this contemporary praise song. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Today's message is entitled, When Faith Doesn't Grow. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The lesson today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul said, If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. How well I remember when we came to the end of that dirt road and I saw that little grayish kind of white church. It was badly in need of paint and repair, and it almost looked abandoned. You know, I remember sitting in the front seat of our U-Haul truck then, and the strangest feeling came over me. I was just staring at that building. About 100 yards away, nestled among those white oak trees and pine trees, was the parsonage. I took one of those long, slow, deep breaths. You know, I realized that the first member of that church who would meet me would call me pastor. It was a strange feeling. Only a week before, I was in business as a real estate broker, and now my wife and our children, our three children, were going to be called the new parsonage family. It was then that I became the pastor of the Bethel United Methodist Church. But you know, over the 3 years that we were there, that we lived there, there were so many things that happened that endeared us to that church, to those people. And whenever I'm near Tallahassee, Florida, I always drive by and wander down that little dirt road and stop and take a long look at that church. You know, it's just like we were there 30 years ago. But my heart is always full of rich memories. And I suppose that for most ministers, the first church they serve is much the same way. Those are lifelong relationships. Those are people with whom you become so identified in their lives. Well, I thought about this, and I thought about the Apostle Paul, who established this little church at Philippi in about 49 A.D. Now, as far as we can tell, its beginnings were rather unusual. You see, Paul usually made it a point to have at least 10 Jewish males to start a church. But apparently there were not enough Jewish males to accomplish this thing, because history teaches us that Paul met outside the city gates, and he met there with a group of women. And they formed a kind of a prayer group and a spearhead group who now became the people who were the founding persons of this church. Well, this church at Philippi, this letter to the church at Philippi, is dated nearly 10 years later after that incident. And you and I have got to read it with the kind of tenderness and compassion Paul must have felt as he talked about his joy. Those were his people. Those was his joy. You know, I couldn't help but thinking of that little church in Tallahassee and how sometimes I longed to be with those people of God. But now here, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He was in prison again. You see, when he first started there at Philippi, he was thrown into prison right in the middle of the night, and he was tied up and he was beaten. But as soon as he could catch his breath and wake up a little bit and wipe away the blood, he began to sing hymns of praise to God. You can read about that story, about his experience, in Acts chapter 16. You know, new churches most often grow quickly. That is, churches planted in the right way, and they grow with zeal and excitement, and there's almost an abandonment sense of joy deep that happens inside persons in churches, deep in their spirits. And I think Paul remembered, and I suspect with tears of joy, how this little church just grew, became strong, a strong witness for Christ. You know, I found that a good way to try to understand a text like this is that you and I have to listen to it as though it's a response to some need or an answer to a question. You see, this is Paul's response. Now, you and I must think about what was happening in that church. What was going on at the church of Philippi to urge Paul to sit down and write such a letter? Listen to his words again. He said, "Friends, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen." Can't you just hear Paul reminding his beloved friends of the basic standards of Christian character and beliefs? It now begins, you see, to be pretty obvious, I think, that the zeal that they once felt has turned to something else. There's some bickering and dissension going on. Do you remember a time when two people that you love got into some kind of a fight, and it's just that painful thing that comes over you, and you feel like, what can I do? Well, I think that's how Paul felt as he heard in prison what was going on with these people. Sometimes churches fall into the traps of the same things that happened in Philippi. As a church grows in size, issues become more complex, and if the members do not mature in their faith as well, it all begins to break down. Christian maturity is so significant, so important. It's shocking, you see, how even small things can affect a whole congregation. I heard of this story. I knew of a friend who was close to it. There was a woman in a church who was as close to being a saint as anyone could be, I suppose. So many people loved her, adults and children, and they just looked up to her. She taught a Sunday school class. She led classes in United Methodist Women. She was on the board of trustees, and she tithed, and she was such a good steward. She was a member of a small Southern Ohio church, and she was in that same church her whole life. Later in her life, there was the death. There was a death. It was the death of her husband, and he died very suddenly. And about the same time that her husband died, a new pastor had been assigned to the church. When the husband did die, the new pastor was away on a conference meeting in another state. Now, as often things happen like this, because the pastor did not know the deceased, a former pastor who had just left was called back to do the funeral. And it was a fine thing. The families told the pastor, "Oh, don't worry about it," and when he learned that, of course, he stayed at his meeting and did not come back to the funeral. The family assured him, well, it's okay, don't worry about it. This pastor knew Daddy and you're okay. Well, a few weeks later, when the pastor did return home, he stopped by to see this very saintly lady, and she happened not to be at home. For some reason, though, he never went back to visit her again. He didn't even call her. At least no one knows if he called her. And to my knowledge, to this day, he has not seen her. Now, I think you can imagine how hurt she must have felt. I have been told by persons at that church that she's never gone back. You know, the effect of her leaving the church is so devastating to everyone who knew her, and people who didn't even know her had heard about it. Most of her family have quit going to the church. Good friends have cut off contributions, and they said that they would never give money as long as that minister was there. They finally had to change the pastor. The children that she taught and those kids that were in her Sunday school classes didn't understand what had happened. They were angry and hurt, and some of them complained to their parents and said that they didn't like church anymore and they didn't want to go back. Now, do you suppose maybe something like this could have happened at Philippi? I don't know. But I can tell you the pastor, for whatever reason, made a dumb mistake. It was a very poor decision. It's hard for me to imagine a situation so grave that he would not have gone back and taken time to see her. I don't know what the circumstances were. But now, friends, I want you to understand, there's another issue at stake here. There's a matter of Christian maturity. You know, I so wish that this dear lady would have gone to that pastor, even though he should have gone to her, no question. But if she could have told him how hurt she felt and whether or not he came to see her, well, she could have seen him. And he may have very well felt embarrassed that he wasn't called back to even be a part of that service for her husband. I don't know. But she could have told him and just gotten it out. They could have talked together. And then she could have returned to her church and her people and her children. And she could have been a light for Christ. Can't you just hear Paul saying to those dear, beloved friends of his at Philippi? He said, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is anything in fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection of compassion, make my joy complete, he said. Make it complete by being of the same mind and maintaining the same spirit of love and you be united in Christ and intent on one purpose. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others, having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, for as long as I can remember, we've used the expression calling for renewal or revival. That is, to somehow have renewal or revival in the church and in our lives. But honestly, when I think about it, I realize that we really don't need renewal or revival because that assumes that there was a time when we had everything sort of perfect or just right in our lives or even in the church or in the world. Whatever that time was has nothing to do with right now. We are at a very different place and time in our lives. You know, what's helped me is to do what we call centering prayer. That is to just sit quietly for a few minutes and then say, Lord, it is me. I'm here. Say nothing else. In 3 or 4 minutes, begin to think about what is going on in your life right now. Think about it like you're watching a movie. Don't evaluate it. Just watch the movie. Think about the things for which you're really thankful and the things for which you struggle. And when you feel like you're finished, just say something like, Lord, this is kind of where I'm at right now. I know you're with me. Help me to listen as you guide me. And if you have time, just sit a few more minutes and just listen. Finally, just say amen. I know this is a lot, but if you just have any questions, please call me or text me at 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. Or, of course, you can email me at johnwolfe@me.com. That's John Wolfe with an E. John Wolfe at me, like you and me.com. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.